Father, we thank you and bless you for today. We pray now that all that we do and all that we say will be pleasing in your sight and will bring glory and honor to you. Father, we pray that you will bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. And let this word encourage somebody to be all you have created them to be. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What do you want to be when you grow up? How many of you remember hearing that question as a child? Maybe it was an adult family member or an adult friend of the family, or maybe it was a teacher or a counselor at school. Somebody asked you. You were bright-eyed. You were excited. You may have been that rambunctious child. And they came up to you and say, what do you want to be when you grow up? And what was your answer? Well, here are some of the answers that children come up with. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a nurse. I want to be a teacher. Some little girls say, I want to be a mommy, a movie star, a race car driver, a police officer, an entertainer, a firefighter, or maybe a professional athlete. But children could come up with an answer in terms of what they wanted to be when they grew up. Now, here's another question for you. As a parent, what do you want your child to be when they grow up? Or what did you want your child to be when they grew up? See, as a parent, you may have had a career in mind for your child, but at the end of the day, as a parent of grown children, I want you to know my prayer for my children is that they are happy, independent, and self-sufficient. Independent and self-sufficient. Independent. And self-sufficient. And hopefully they marry somebody with some sense and give me some good grandchildren. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. Now, what would you say if I told you that for all those years when people asked you what you wanted to be when you grew up, they were asking the wrong question? What would you say if I said to you, when you ask your child that question, baby, what do you want to be when you grow up? You were asking them the wrong question. I submit to you, my brothers and sisters, that that question is the wrong question because we should have never asked our children what they wanted to be when they grew up. We should have never been asked that question as a child, what we wanted to be when we grew up. First and foremost, somebody should have asked us, what do you think God wants you to be when you grow up? Think about it for a moment. We affirm the self-centeredness of our children when we ask them what they wanted to be instead of helping them discover what God wanted them to be. And there are so many of us who are looking at life now with the majority of our lives in the rearview mirror. And nobody ever asked us, what does God want you to be when you grow up? See, if you wanted to raise the God consciousness within your children, the first way to raise a God consciousness is to make them aware there is a God. And then to make them aware of the fact that God is concerned about their life and their living. The overwhelming majority of us have taken a passive role to the spiritual growth of our children. Part of that is because those of you who grew up in church testify that you had a drug problem when you were going to church as a child because you got drugged to every service going on in the church. You were drugged to morning service, Sunday school, afternoon service, BYPU. And so we have a generation of people who experience the kind of PTSD so much so in church that they decided, I'm not going to make my child go to church. I'm going to let them decide what they want. That's like letting your child decide what they want to eat. They always going to pick the sweet, sugary stuff and hardly ever what's good for them. And we see our children doing the same today. Today, I want to talk to you from the thought, how to parent with God's purpose in mind. How to parent with God's purpose in mind. Now, I think it is fortuitous that this subject matter would be dealt with today. We're in between Mother's Day and Father's Day. We're in the week of experiencing God when we're talking about how do we impact and deposit spiritual truth in our children. And I came to realize in my own life, y'all, in my own life, I really did my children a disservice when it comes to their walk with God. Today's topical expositional message is intended to help you think about living in a way so you can fulfill God's purpose for your life, God's purpose for your children's life, and for somebody, maybe God's purpose for your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren's life. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. Four things I want you to see today as we talk about how to parent with God's purpose in mind. Here's the first thing. Number one, you need to realize your children were created by God. Your children were created by God. Verse 13, Psalm 139, the New Living Translation, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Some of you may be familiar with the Authorized Version translation of that verse where it says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watch me, verse 15, as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Oh, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. The psalmist says God knew all about him when he was created. As a matter of fact, he was company with the one he created in the womb. He was observing, he was watching when nobody else could see. Before there was obstetrics, before there was the ability to look into the womb via devices today, the Bible says that God was in and was watching the development in the womb. And the psalmist says, even though he was made in secret, God saw his frame developed and put together. And because God created him, he knew God had a maximum potential for his life. Nothing about him would catch God off guard. God created him. My brothers and sisters, just like God knows that potential for your and my life, he knows the potential for the life of the children God has given you an opportunity to touch. Some of those children are children that you will touch because they belong to you by DNA. But some of those are children that you will touch that God will put into your concentric circle of contact. He will give you an opportunity. And I want you to know, be reminded, whenever you have an opportunity to touch eternity by touching the life of a child, I want you to know and remember that that child was created by God. So if your children were created by God, the question is, what did God create them for? Why did God create your child? Here's the second thing. if you're going to parent with God's purpose in mind. Number two, you need to realize your children are a gift from God. Everybody say gift from God. Psalm 127, beginning at verse 3, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates. Children, the psalmist says, are some of the Lord's providential blessings. They are a gift from God, a gift that is freely given by God. Now, here's what's interesting. Throughout the Bible, when times were difficult and times were challenging, God sent his remedy to the world in the form of a baby. Think about it for a moment. From Isaac to Jacob, from Moses to Joshua, from Samuel to David, from John the Baptist to Jesus, God sends those he plans to change the world. Not as a fully formed adult, but as a child, as a gift from God. And what their parents wanted for their children didn't matter. What mattered more than anything was what God wanted from their children, who were a gift from God. I need everybody under the sound of my voice, those of you who are watching, to remember your children are a gift from God. And if they are a gift from God to you and the world, you should treat them as such. Now, let me put a cord in the meter and park right there, because some of you will struggle seeing your children as a gift from God because nobody ever told you you were a gift from God. Too many of you have never been told, have never been taught, have never been treated like you are a gift from God to the world. And it's hard to give someone else what you have never gotten yourself. To all my own children, and for all the parents and grandparents who never gave you that, I apologize. Because the truth of the matter is, the overwhelming majority of us have parented in our ignorance. As a matter of fact, let me go one step further. We have parented out of our ignorance, and we have parented out of our own pain, our own unresolved pain. Because nobody ever told us and treated us and taught us that we were gifts from God. Here's the third thing. You're going to parent with God's purpose in mind. Number three, you need to realize God has a plan for your child. God has a plan for your child. Look at verse 3, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Under number 3, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. That weeping prophet Jeremiah announces to the children of Israel in exile that God has a plan for them. That despite where they were at that moment, God wanted them to know that his plan for them was still true. And my brothers and my sisters, just like God had a plan for Israel, I believe God has a plan for the life of your child and your life. Now, when I say your child, please don't discount it if your child is grown, because I don't think it's too late for you to give them that parental or grandparental affirmation that they have been longing and looking for their entire life. See, all of you at one time in your life were children with dreams and aspirations. But have you ever stopped and asked God, what do you want me to do with my life? Like, you had your ideas, and some of you are walking around today disappointed because you didn't achieve your dreams.
But what was God's dream for your life? What did God want for your life? See, most of us, we dream in a way that we define successful living by the accumulation of cash, cars, commodities, clothes, and creature comforts. And we think if we have a big house and a big car and a big title and a big check, that we're going to have big happiness. But I'm a witness that true success is being who God created you to be and doing what God created you to do. So as a child, when I was asked that question, what do you want to be when you grow up? My answer was, I want to be a policeman. Now, you say, well, why did you want to be a policeman? I want to be a policeman because my dad was a policeman. And nobody was stronger than my dad. Nobody was bigger than my dad. My dad was the baddest man in the world, as far as I was concerned. And I wanted to be just like my dad. Until my dad set me down one day as I got older and told me about all of the challenges he had on the police force and told me about the racism and the danger, not on the streets from criminals, but from those who wore the same color uniform who had racism in their hearts. And my dad said to me, son, no, you can't be a police officer. So I decided to be the next best thing. I'm going to be a lawyer. I don't want to be a criminal lawyer because I don't want to defend people who I think are guilty. I'm going to be, watch this, I'm going to be a lawyer for innocent folk. I'm going to be a corporate lawyer. Show you how naive I was, right? I decided I was going to be an attorney. And I can remember, even after my father recommitted his life to the Lord and then acknowledged the call to preach, and people would walk up to me and say, man, you're going to be a preacher just like your daddy. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm going to be an attorney. As a matter of fact, let me be honest with you. My father encouraged me to be an attorney. And one of the reasons is because only about 5% of preachers in this country made a living and could feed their family off of what they made preaching. And so my father said, hey, man, now you be an attorney. And if you decide God has called you to preach, at least you got being an attorney to fall back on. You can put out your shingle anywhere. Now, here's what's interesting to me. As I think back, I could never remember my mother really weighing in one way or another. I think my mother was like most moms. She's like, I just want you to be happy, whatever you decide to do. And it wasn't until I ran myself from God and found myself in a corner. Because I kept on saying, I'm not going to be a preacher because my daddy's a preacher. I'm not going to be a preacher because my daddy is a preacher. And it wasn't until I kept saying no to God that God finally boxed me in. And I had to say yes to God. And when I asked God what he wanted me to do, when I got that answer, I obeyed and never looked back. Now, let me be honest with you. Even the decision I made to go full time in the ministry didn't make sense to my dad. But here's what I learned. It didn't matter. As long as it made sense to God, and God's command made sense to me. Some of you have just begun to discover God's plan for your life. You have just begun to discover the joy of serving God in a meaningful way. Think about this. How different would your life have been if you discovered God's plan for your life when you were younger? While all of you may not have biological children, every one of us has an opportunity to pour into a child's life. Every one of us has an opportunity to be part of a child's village to help that child discover God's special assignment for their life. You can be the person to help a child discover God's purpose for their life. And ultimately, God's plan for your child, for our children, is the same as God's plan for your life and my life. And that's for us to become more like Christ. Your child coming into this world may have been an accident. They may have been a surprise to you, but they did not come by surprise to God. And from the beginning of time, God knew your child would be born into this world. And God intended for your child to know him as Savior and grow in him as Lord, so your child could fulfill their potential in God and be used to the glory of God. A gift from God. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Let's read it together. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Here's the fourth and final thing. If you're going to parent with God's purpose in your mind, number four, you need to realize God's purpose for you is to disciple a child. That's God's purpose for you, to disciple a child. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 6, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. From the beginning of time, God knew your children would be born and dwell on earth, and he intended for them one day to act and think like Jesus. Here's what God says. The first, the primary, the essential place of discipleship is the home. God gave this command in Deuteronomy before the church was even given birth to. God says that's our responsibility. Not to set up a home that is a gauntlet for our children to try to survive without coming out of it too dysfunctional. Our homes are supposed to be a place where the love of God is practiced, where the love of God is lived, and where the love of God can be transferred to our children. Now, if God's purpose for each child is that they become like Christ, then what is your purpose in discipling them? Look at Proverbs 22, verse 6. Let's read it together. Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. This is not a promise, it's a principle. And the wisest man in the world wrote this principle, basically saying that parents, while you may undervalue who you are in your child's life, grandparents, while you may undervalue who you can be in your grandchildren's life, God says the most influential place in that child's life is going to be the home. And you have a responsibility to set the right temperature in that home and to be the right temperature whenever you come in contact with children that God allows you to touch. So here's the question. How can you disciple your children to live for God? How can you begin to change the narrative? See, I didn't really grow up in a Christian home. When I tell people I'm a PK, I'm only a PK because my father gave his life to the Lord when I was in high school. Before then, he was cutty sock drinking, cussing, smoking, getting high, beating on my mama, did all of those things as a child growing up.
But he made a change in his life. He didn't change everything. But he made a change in his life that impacted me in my formative years. As I was moving into adolescence, I saw an alternative. And my brothers and sisters, even if your children are too grown to show them because they don't live in your home, you can show them by your interaction, and you can tell them by your words. How can you disciple your children to live for God? Look at A. You need to talk to God for your child. You need to talk to God for your child. Circle that word, for. You need to talk to God for your children. Lamentations 2:19, rise during the night and cry out. Pour out your hearts like water to the Lord. Lift up your hands to him in prayer, pleading for your children. For in every street they are faint and hungry. You need to talk to God for your child. You need to pray for your child. And we should not pray to tell God what we want him to do for our children. We need to pray and ask God to help our children find God's will for their life. We need to ask God how our lives can be adjusted so we can be his instrument in the lives of our children. See, here's the truth of the matter. You don't know all your children will experience in school, in life. You don't know all that they will experience when they are out of your sight, just like your parents didn't know everything that you experienced. We don't know all the temptations, criticisms, threats, and pressures they face. God does not make our children immune to problems, but as a parent, as a guardian, as a positive adult in their life, you are called to be there to support them in the midst of everything they go through. It's amazing because we have our ideas about what our children should do. My son and I were talking yesterday. He just had his second child, another son, and we were talking about parenting and what advice he wants to get from his dad and his mom and his bonus mom. How can we help you? And he said something that was real interesting, and he really wasn't talking about me because I know who he was talking about. But he said, you know, he said, it's amazing. He said, how many people have the idea and they say to their children about their children's children, I know how to raise children. And they haven't raised a child in 30 or 40 years. And then he said, and it's amazing because so many of the kids in my generation, when our parents say to us, I raised you, we're thinking to ourselves, and you didn't do a good job with that. See, here's the truth. You don't always know what's best for your children. Heck, you don't always know what's best for you. But God gives us a charge to be there, to pray for them. And if you pray and live for them, here's what God wants you to understand. You should never pray for your children to never experience pain, discomfort, or difficulties. One of the greatest burdens many of us gave to our children is we raised our children saying, I don't want my child to suffer like I did. I don't want my child to go hungry like I did. I don't want my child to experience what I experienced. And we don't understand that it's in the crucible of difficult times that God develops character. God develops maturity. God develops perseverance. Look at what God says in Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together, the New Living Translation says, for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. God never wastes a hurt. He never wastes a difficulty. He says all things will work together. And so what you need to pray is not for God to keep your children out of difficulties, but you need to start praying and asking God, teach your children in their difficulties how to know God even better. God not only knows the problems your children will face, but here's the other thing I want you to know. God knows the potential they have. God knows the potential that is within them. And as much as you love your children, you can't imagine everything that God desires for them. Come on, read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 9. Let's read it together. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thought except the spirit that of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. You will rob your children if you simply want them to live up to your expectations. You will hinder and hurt and hold back your children if their goal in life is to make you happy, when you should be encouraging them to make God happy. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. How can you disciple your children to live for God? Here's B. Look at B. You need to talk to your child about God. You not only need to talk to God for your children, but you need to talk to your child about God. I love what the psalmist says here in verse 1 through 4, Psalm 78. Oh, my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I am saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. Tell your children about what God has done. How many times do we get together at a family reunion? How many times do we get together at a repast after a funeral? And we talk about good times and we'll laugh about the memories, but we don't stop to talk about what God has done in the lives of our family, the faithfulness of God. We don't talk about what God has done, and we don't talk about what God is doing right now. And my brothers and my sisters, if you give your children no other gift, learn how to talk to your children about what God is doing. Give them the gift of a godly conversation, because it might be the only one they have. Look at C. You need to minister with your children. Not just minister to your children, but minister with your children. Look at what Joshua says in Joshua 24, verse 15. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors, or the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Minister with your children. If they're old enough, minister with your grandchildren. Give them a legacy. You want to have a legacy of shopping with your child, and you want to have a legacy of taking your grandchildren out for a spa day and a petty day. You want to take your children out to a fine restaurant and teach them fine dining, or your grandchildren. Bring them to serve. Teach
teach him something that's going to combat the selfishness and greed that lives inside of all of us. Do you talk to your child by serving others? Do you take advantage of opportunities to serve those who are around you? Do you take advantage of the opportunity to serve with those who are younger than you? Do you show your children how to walk with God by walking with you? It's important to show your children how to join God in his work. Let me close by just telling you this. When you help change a child, you help change the world. And we've got to help our children to recognize how gifted and wonderful they are in the sight of God. Not so they get beside themselves, but so they learn how to live out of all God created them to be. John 1, verses 11 and 12. Write it down somewhere. You can look it up later. The ESV says, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The Son of God, one writer said, became the Son of Man, that the sons and daughters of men could become the sons and daughters of God. That's why we have a children's ministry, not to get children out of the sanctuary, but to get Jesus in their life in an age-appropriate way. We're not just teaching them right from wrong. We're teaching them how to walk in God's will for the rest of their life. Pray for them like their lives depend on it. Speak to them like their souls need it. Serve beside them so they can see the kingdom of God come alive in front of them. When you disciple your children, you're not just preparing them for college, you're preparing them for a calling. You're not just teaching them verses, you're trying to show them how to live victoriously. Tell them the truth. Show them God's grace. Pray for them through their struggles and run this race with them. Because parenting with a purpose means more than just raising achievers. It means shaping believers and sending out disciples. So don't just teach your child how to make a living. Teach your child how to live for Christ. Don't just give them the world's plan for success. Show them the way, the truth, and the life. Don't just raise them, disciple them. Don't just feed them, fellowship with them. Don't just teach them manners, teach them missions. Shape them, not their habits, but their hearts, and give them the gift that they will never lose, the gift of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because God has called each of us to speak to their souls, to pray for their future, and to serve them like eternity is working and eternity is watching. Don't just raise your children, release them to walk in God's will, to fulfill God's plan, and to bring God glory for generations to come. Some you will never see and you will never know. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the precious gift of children. I thank you, God, for the gift of every person under the sound of my voice, because they were children and they are still your children. I thank you, God, that you have deposited greatness in each of us. Some of us grew up in an environment, in a home, where those who raised us didn't see their own giftedness, let alone the giftedness in us. God, I pray that we would never take the role lightly. Help us to see all that you have deposited within us and all that you have deposited in our children and our grandchildren, and help us to make it our mission to bring that greatness out of them. And for those of us who may not have biological children or biological grandchildren, or for those of us whose hearts are big enough to embrace the potential in other children, God, I pray that as we see them, we would no longer see them as a problem, but help us to see them as potential. Help us to see them for who they can be and who you desire them to be. Give us wisdom. Teach us to pray fervently for them, to talk openly with them, and to walk beside them, so that we can be an example of your faithfulness in their eyes. Strengthen our hands when we are weary. Renew our hearts when we are discouraged, and remind us daily that you are with us and you are with them. May our homes, God, be places where your name is honored. May our homes be places where your truth is taught. And may our homes be places where your love is lived out. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Let all of God's people say amen. 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 Stand on your feet, those of you who can, those of you who will.